It was a gift from a friend, a poet, professor, one-time poet laureate of the state of Maryland. The gift was a rock, highly polished with a piece of green beach glass glued on, and it had words inscribed on that rock, words that are pregnant with meaning, words that offer a path to us for more holistic living as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the words are a line from a poem by W.H. Auden, the English-born American naturalized poet. And the words are these: "If there, when grace dances, dance. If you're there when grace dances, dance. If you are present when God's grace," the grace, of course, which is always in our lives, God's unmerited favor to us, giving us life itself, but when it comes sometimes in unexpected bursts, sometimes almost palatable, if you are present when someone receives good news that changes their lives, or in the morning if you sense the refreshing beauty of that day after a night of storm and howling wind, or if you come across a new insight into the biblical text that challenges you, or a piece of music that you have practiced and are excited to play or to sing, or for John Edgerton here this morning, yesterday hands were laid on his head ordaining him to Christian ministry, and the overwhelmingness of that moment coupled with sheer joy was palpable, I'm sure. And our new members down here, nervously yet excitedly, soon to be among us up here as a new family of faith receives them. Or the sense of God's new life filtering through your body and faith reemerging after the dark, dark night of the soul. Or when you stand at the ocean's edge and sense the vastness of the endless sea and hovering sky and have what philosophers call a numinous experience, the realization of your creatureliness and the grandeur and vastness of time and of space, or when you cradle a newborn child for the first time. If you are present when grace dances, oh, please dance. Oh, but sometimes we have trouble dancing. We are a rather flinty lot, we New Englanders. There's a certain reservedness to us. We are generally not given to expressiveness or exuberance. Old South does better than most, I want you to know, because I'm part of this family. But those of you who are visiting and you say, well, I'm going to exempt myself from that, I'm from somewhere else, or I'm just here for the day, or we've only been 2 years here on you. No, 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 no. You're breathing New England air today. You are a New Englander. Some say it goes back to our Puritan heritage, but they have been given a bad rap. They express more joy than sometimes we credit them. No, I think our reservedness goes further than that. It goes to the world in which we live. Author Eve Ensler, who authored the Vagina Monologues, in her new book, I Am an Emotional Creature, A Look at the Plight of Young Girls Worldwide, Raped, Trafficked, Mutilated, Succumbed by Consumerism. She does a rant at the beginning of her book, which applies to all of us as we look out on our world, and a part of it goes like this: the Iraq War cost nearly $3 trillion. I can't even count that high, but I know that money could have, would have, ended poverty in general, which would have canceled much of terrorism. How come we have money to kill, but no money to feed or to heal? And how come we have money to destroy, but no money for art and for schools? And in our United Church of Christ this month, Black History Month, we look at racial justice issues, a new book just published called The New Jim Crow. Michelle Alexander, a professor out at the University of Ohio, notes that today, there are more African American men in prison, in jail, on probation, or on parole than were enslaved in 1850 in the whole of the nation before the Civil War, and that our war on drugs is waged almost exclusively in poor communities of color. And some may say, Don, grace? Dancing in this kind of a world? Are you kidding? No, I am not kidding. As we work for social justice, an advocate for the 99%, and lift up the plight of the poor, and advocate for all who feel the boot of discrimination, while we work on these issues with determination and fervor, we also need to celebrate every moment of God's grace that comes to us in the course of our daily living. We live, you see, with a different narrative as to what the world is like and what the world could be like. And we need to celebrate all of those blessed moments that make up our days. We light candles, we sing, we dance, we smile, we clap, we embrace. I would suggest to you it's because of this kind of world that if we are there when grace dances, oh, please, let us dance. In the assigned lectionary text for today, which Emily Click read so beautifully, Jesus was traveling through various towns of Galilee, and this leper came up to him asking to be healed. Now, there's always a backstory to these stories of the Bible, but we really don't know this one. Whether he knew Jesus or heard from him, or another leper told him, my gosh, you have to go see this preacher. He arrived before Jesus in his aloneness, for lepers were ostracized from the community. They were pariahs, and this man somehow found him and cried out, you can make me clean. What a plea. And Jesus touched him, the text said. Oh, again, breaking all the established laws. He was really a renegade, this Jesus fellow. And the leprosy was gone. And then Jesus said something rather strange. See that you say nothing to anyone except to the priest. That was the prescribed way of being clean again. Keep it under wraps. Your life has been changed. You could be long again. Jesus knew this fellow couldn't keep a secret. He probably smiled. He said, at least I'm trying. He wanted to tone down the knowledge of his teaching and miracles, for the authorities, both secular and religious, were already watching him, and it's already just chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. But the text said, this cured man went out spreading the news freely. He can't keep this secret. Image him, if you will, rushing into the town center, crying out to all, look, look, I'm whole again. If you are there when grace dances, dance. A friend of mine told me the story that he was at a reception several months back, and a man greeted him and shook his hand, and he didn't know if he had ever met this fellow before. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And the man simply said to him, 30 days. Whether he knew my friend was a clergy person or not, I don't know. You know, sometimes we clergy stand out like a sore thumb in a crowd. And you either want to come to us with a question or say hello, or you want to go to the hors d'oeuvre table just right away, you know. He must have seen a bit of puzzlement on my friend's face, and then he added the word, 30 days sober. My friend said his eyes were clear, his voice was strong, there was a long journey ahead of him, and new life, though, was ahead of him, and they clasped their hands tightly. He told them how wonderful that was. He should be proud of this accomplishment. And they stood there in the glow of that moment. If there, you see, when grace dances, oh, dance. Frederick Buechner, Presbyterian minister, pastor, author, tells us about one winter afternoon. He was walking across the quadrangle in a school to a class that he was about to teach. And he noticed off in the west the beginning of a sunset that would be a great one. The right kind of clouds, the bare trees black against the burning sky. And when he got to the classroom, lights were on and students were chattering. And on an impulse, he switched off the lights. And the room faced west, and they could see through the windows. The entire sky was on fire, like the beginning of the world or the end of the world. And for over 20 minutes, nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. Nobody moved. And they sat in near darkness and watched one day of their lives come to an end. And Buechner suggested it was one of the best classes he ever taught, because his only contribution was to turn off the lights and simply be quiet. They don't teach us that in seminary. But Buechner suggests it was more than just the sunset. It was a group of people taking unlabeled, unstructured time, bound together by the fact of their humanness and what he calls our splendid insignificance in the face of what was transpiring. Oh, if you're there when grace dances, oh, please dance. And sometimes this infusion of grace can come out of deep grief from which one is emerging. After the death of her partner 3 years earlier, Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and Provincetown native Mary Oliver writes of this coming to life again. She said, like a red bird, can she ever sing again? And in one of her poems, she picks this up and said, I will try. I will step from the house to see what I see and hear, and I will praise it. I did not come into this world to be comforted. I came, like a red bird, to sing. But I am not the red bird now, with his head mop of flame and the red triangle of his mouth full of tongue and whistle. Oh, but a woman whose love has vanished, who thinks now too much of roots in the dark places where everything is simply holding on. But this, too, I believe, is a place where God is keeping watch until we rise and step forth again and... But wait. Be still. Listen. Is it Red Bird? Or something inside myself singing? Oh, yes, she is singing again. She lets her voice come forth. And if we recognize that voice within us, we allow it to come forth and we can sing too. If there, when grace dances, please dance. But these palpable touches of God's grace to us are not just in recovery programs or working through grief or watching magnificent sunsets, but in the everyday moments of life as well. Last summer, on an island off the coast of Maine, where you know I go on vacation and preach in the island church, my granddaughter visited. She was just shy then of 2 years old. The weather was foggy and a bit drizzly. Oh, that's wonderful Maine weather. And we dressed in slickers and rain hats and went down a dirt road to a small beach for her to try out her new pail and shovel. And there it was in the midst of that dirt road, a big puddle, 2 to 3 inches deep. And in she went, sneakers, socks, feet, pants cuffs, water, mud, pebbles, dirt, feet splashing, gales of laughter reaching heavenward, much joy. She splashed, and we all clapped and cheered. I was there, you see, when Grace danced, and I danced too. And may you also dance, whether emerging from the tough moments of life or in the moments of simple pleasure, the gifts of God's grace, God's unmerited favor, always sustaining us, amazing grace indeed, always with us, but sometimes coming in distinctly recognizable forms, very palatable, as it were, sometimes blindsiding us. Ah, there it is. And when they come, if you're there when grace dances, dance. And if you're there when grace dances, oh, please dance. And if you're there when grace dances, oh, be sure you dance. May it be so. Amen.